May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 31. A form of words, though e'er so sound, can never save a soul. The Holy Ghost must give the wound and make the wounded whole. Hymn number 31.
Thank you. Let us read the word this evening, friends, in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 7, and also some verses in the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, I do not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, thy word I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let us also read in Paul's epistle to the Colossians, part of chapter 3. We read the first 17 verses, Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, that Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, O great God Jehovah, the true and living God, do give to us now a breath of real prayer. Oh, we come before thee, Lord our God, pleading the precious name of Jesus. Oh, that name that thou, the Father, loves to hear thy children plead. And Lord, as thy beloved Son has stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, we beg we may come in that one way, that one and only way of approach to thee, our great God. And do hear us, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We do feel we must come again with solemn confession of our many, many sins. Oh, now we feel unworthy, Lord, of the least of thy notice. But we do trust we come on mercy's ground. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. May this be our way of approach to thee, O God, each of us. And may we come together, Lord, to the footstool of mercy, at the throne of grace. Each one who feels their load, feels their malady. Oh, Lord, help us to come confessing our sins and imploring thy mercy. Lord, what a wonderful word it is. It's still with us after all these years since we first preached that sermon, Lord, and going out into the ministry. Oh, those precious words that John had in his first chapter, in his first epistle. Oh, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us each, Lord. We may come in truth and, Lord, in all honesty, confessing our sins. And, oh, Lord, oh, may we know that wonderful forgiveness. Oh, how blessed it is, that joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. Oh, if we know we're doomed to die as malefactors are, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, Lord, oh, help us. Grant us faith to believe, Lord, to believe to the saving of our soul. Lord, we bless thee for the theme in the first hymn, all those statements, Lord. And oh, we do trust we have something of that same confidence of faith the hymn writer had. And Lord, as those things are acknowledged of experience, oh Lord, we bless thee. We have a hope we know something of those realities. And Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, so knoweth upon our spirit is the theme of a tremendous question. For what is thy life? Oh, what is thy life? May it be a solemn question to us each. A question that thou, our God, asks us. And we, to give an account, we know at the great day. Oh, prepare my soul, my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. And knoweth how our dear friend has pleaded before the service, Lord, for this. Oh, how we do so much need it. We need the washing. Oh, Lord, we think of it. Preached many years ago at South Hill Chapel. Oh, that theme of the water and the blood. This is he who came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. Oh, Lord, let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin my double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. We do feel we need the cleansing, Lord, a fresh application. As our friend and brother has prayed, we feel, Lord, so much to need it. Our sins are so much upon our conscience, Lord, the guilt of sin. Oh, our sin is within me and all about me. Help us to look out of self to thee, Lord. Oh, that wonderful fact. The remedy is without us. See it in the Saviour's blood. We do beg we might know the favour application by faith of thy precious sin atoning blood to our hearts and consciences, Lord. Come and suit the blessing that each one needs to their cases, Lord. Oh, come and work here tonight and bless souls. And Lord, we know in this way of thy blessing souls, there will get to thyself the honour and glory due unto thee. We trust we come in prayer, Lord, with a singleness of heart and mind, desiring thy honour and glory, Lord. Oh, we truly need to know the blessed benefits of the gospel. May we know them. But oh, may, as those benefits are ours, may all the glory be thine. So help us, Lord, it may be a service of real worship here tonight of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, may the dear Holy Spirit testify of Christ. May he come to us each and take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. So suit thy blessing to each soul, Lord, according to their need, according to their, how thou dost so perfectly know our need. Oh, how thou, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint, every sinner, sinner's peculiar case, every saint's. Oh, Lord, whatever we are by thy grace, Lord, if we are new creatures in Christ. If thou hast begun thy work in us, if thou art working in us, it's what we are made by thee, Lord, not what we are ourselves. And oh, may it not ever be unto us, but unto thy name that we give glory. Oh, that we may be able to give witness of it for his mercy and his truth's sake. May we know it, Lord. So suit thy blessing to us each, Lord. We pray, Lord, for our dear young friends among us, Lord, the children in the families, Lord. Now thou hast in thy wonderful favour, Lord, blessed families and given children. We thank thee, Lord, for each one. We acknowledge with our friends thy goodness. Now the man is blessed who fears the Lord, as we believe there are those here, dear parents here. And Lord, we do pray they may see thy work appearing in their loved ones, in their children. Oh, what a great burden and exercise this is to parents, Lord, that thou wouldst, if it be thy will, work in their dear offspring. Oh, do let thy work appear, Lord. Quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. So, Lord, work. Bless the young people, Lord. Who knows what a terrible world they are in and we're all in. And they are growing up in and have to go forth in life, Lord. Pray, we pray, Lord, they will give them to learn and prosper in learning in that way and a wholesome, good way. And that they might be able to take up a useful purpose in life, Lord. Oh, in thy purpose and will for them, we humbly hope thou hast appointed it. Each one's calling, Lord, each one's paths in life. Lord, above everything, give them that grace to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. Bless them, Lord, in their young days. Oh, could it please thee to work in their early days of their lives, Lord? And, oh, Lord, even in childhood and teenage, Lord, if it be thy will. Do bless the young, Lord, and help them. And oh, may they be brought to seek thee. Oh, to seek thee early, Lord, as it were. Lord, bless them. And bless those of our friends that are in the midst of the battle. And oh, especially we think of one and another here, Lord, in their pathways. And Lord, the family, Lord, they are concerned for and loved ones, Lord. Dear fathers and mothers, and those that may not be in this path, Lord, but in singleness of life in the way they are, thou knowest each one. Oh, grown to years and in the midst of life. And oh Lord, is it in the reality of it, in experience, the midst of the battle? Thou knowest thy people. Oh, with all the things of trial and tribulation, in the veil of tears. And Lord, some involved in business life, Lord. Thou knowest all these things in this hard business world, Lord, that it is. In these solemn days. Oh, how thy people have to know it and feel it and feel to need to pray to thee as they live on hostile ground. Lord, in the wilderness. Oh, Lord, this veil of tears. Lord, thy purpose is for thy people to give them grace, to persevere, to endure. Oh, Lord, we think of the words thou didst speak through one of thy dear apostles. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we know. We read in that epistle, Lord, that way in which the apostle wrote. Oh, even warning of the perilous times, and the last days perilous times shall come. And oh, what perilous times these are. And oh Lord, how much thy people need grace. Oh, but looking to thee, the God of all grace. God, their Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. Our beloved Lord, who's gone before us. A glorious leader who claims our praise for his own pattern given. Help us, Lord. We may live to thy praise as we try to name and acknowledge this morning. As it's our prayers day by day. That we might have grace given that we may live to thy praise. Lord, thou knowest as we speak of this, in praying for those in the midst of the battle, Lord, and also us in old age. Oh, how the mud-walled cottage shakes, Lord. And oh, Lord, thou knowest how it is with us. Oh, Lord, we know there is an end. Surely there is an end. And oh, may those words in Proverbs be given us in the assurance of them. Thine expectation shall not be cut off. What is our expectation? Oh, we trust under grace with faith given. It is that prospect of pleasures evermore at God's right hand through thy grace, through thy saving mercy. May it be given us the assurance of it, of our part in the Redeemer's blood, and that assurance of the prospect when we're done with going on in this vale of tears, that we shall be landed home in heaven with thee. O Lord, all is by thy grace. O, nothing of duty, faith or merit, man's merit. Everything of the favours of thy love is by thy grace, the free unmerited favour of God. So help us, Lord, to worship thee here tonight. Oh, come, Lord, and so favour us. Fill our souls with thy love, Lord. Oh, and that we may love thee as our friend and brother's pay, that we may love thee in return. So help us each, Lord. Help us together. And come, Lord, and so grant that there may be the blessedness felt, thy holy sacred presence, Jesus, in the midst. Lord, do so come, Lord, for this, that souls may be blessed. May there be meat, Lord, royal dainties even on the gospel table. And know if the minister, the poor instrument, feels his poverty. Oh, Lord, we feel so insufficient. But, Lord, do come again and grant us to feel and to prove it that our sufficiency is of thee. We pray for any who are not with us tonight, who could have perhaps been or may be detained by some reason, and especially remember the family that are down under that affliction of the COVID virus. Oh, may they each soon be given to feel better and to be restored, Lord. Oh, thou knowest how it is with each one. We pray, Lord, for thy restoring mercies. And Lord, oh, we pray for those caring for little ones. Oh, may they be, if they are listening in, may that be a portion for them too. And knowest how thou hast wonderfully used these means of listening in to one and another. They may even be reflecting upon it tonight, how they were favoured. Oh, on former occasions. And Lord, we bless thee for the means, if it's thy purpose so to use it, for the good of souls. And we know, Lord, in this evening hour, there are those of thy people gathered, meeting around thy word in the hills of Zion. Lord, every gathering of thy people is known to thee. Thou art omnipresent, Lord. Oh, Lord, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. We pray for all thy people, Lord. And Lord, we are aware of great difficulty and fearfulness and the troubles, Lord, of the way, Lord, some are in, especially those that are in war-torn area of eastern country. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. And Lord, as we know, Lord, there's been the bombarding of a number of cities, Lord, over the last few hours, Lord, of earlier part of yesterday, and we understand today. Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest the terribleness of this war. Lord, we do pray it may be brought to be under the word, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. Lord, oh, do call. There may be a ceasing of this terrible conflict. Thou knowest all the wickedness of many things said in total lies. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, Lord, we bow before thee, for we know it is come under thy solemn permissive will. Lord, thou art never author of sin or of anything of wickedness, but these things are so solemnly deep and profound. And Lord, thou art over all. Oh, Lord, we do beg. There may be many brought to understand and to tremble at thy judgments. We think of another word. We've mentioned a word in Isaiah earlier today and another word in another part of Isaiah. We know the word states that when the Lord's judgments are in the earth, the people of the land learn righteousness. It is a very great sadness to us, Lord, that we can see so little of the people learning righteousness. In our own land, England, Lord, thou knowest we've been under thy judgments in this great and solemn way. Of the COVID and of the war, and all the economic effect of the war. And Lord, we do not hear of any of those in government or high places acknowledging thy judgments. Only thy people really understand. And as one of thy servants preached, even before, just before the beginning of the first lockdown, as we heard that ministry, faithful ministry, Lord, how he said, regarding the judgments, and in that solemn way, Lord, the wicked shall not understand, but the wise shall understand. And like as those words in Daniel are so solemnly applicable today, oh Lord, we beg we may be not left to be in that place as many are. Do not understand. But, oh Lord, help us to pray for our country. Help us to pray, to bear before thee, to confess our national sins. And, oh Lord, if it could please thee, do in mercy deal with those in high places. They each have a soul. Lord, thou knowest our burden for them. If it be thy will that thou would open their eyes. Oh, if it be thy will that thou would make men and women in high places to be wise, to know and understand the reality of what is coming on the earth. Lord, thou knowest. A burden for souls, Lord. As we have prayed, it may be even in high places, so that thou will quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. We pray, Lord, again for our King. Lord, do save him. Do teach him. Do bless him. Oh, Lord, do help him to do right. Help our new Prime Minister to do right. Lord, thou knowest all these things of our concerns for our own homeland, England. And Lord, as we know, our King is over those many parts of the world, of the Commonwealth. Oh Lord, our God, do save our King, we beg thee. Hear us now, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. Do come and help us as we turn again to thy word, Lord. We beg. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 378. A beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Thou knowest my need is great indeed. Lord, hear me when I cry. Hymn 378.
Thank you.
the Lord may help me, friends. I would again direct you to the words we were trying to consider this morning. They are still upon my spirit, and I trust we can go on and find some marrow and fatness in that which we may be led into by the Holy Spirit. The word in James, the Epistle of James, chapter 4, and in the 14th verse, I'll read the whole verse, or the two verses, or three verses, so that we see the context. From verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And the text, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. For what is your life? What is your life? Now, friends, as we considered this morning, and I know we come very short in many ways in preaching the word, but what is your life? Is it truly a spiritual life? For we all have our natural lives. We're born naturally, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And like is stated, we go forth from the womb speaking lies because we are under the guilt of original sin. We are sinners. According to the fall of mankind, we're born sinners. And we're born dead in sin. That means we have no spiritual life. But if God loves us, if he's got his purposes of love and mercy for us, the time will come when he will quicken each one. He set his love upon into newness of life. They are born, they shall be born again, according to the will of God. Now, as I've named it before in preaching, even recently, in that way, thinking of Berridge. And we've been there a number of times. We took friends there up to Everton Churchyard. If any of you have not been, I would say to you, it'd be good to go, to stand beside Berridge's tomb, where it is inscribed on it, reader, art thou born again? And further things are stated as regarding Berridge, how he was born, and then born again. And he was born again after he had become a minister, after he'd become the vicar of Everton, and he had preached in unregeneracy. But his ministry changed when he was born again. Well, friends, we wouldn't dwell upon that. Dear Berridge, as he was so blessed and taught and made and used by God in God's service in his preaching his word. But friends, they're born again. What is thy life? Is it a life of faith and prayer upon the reality of being born again, born from above, regenerated by God, God's grace, effectually felt and known in experience, God teaching us? Oh, he has to begin. He will work and begin, and he will convince of sin and then lead to Jesus' blood. And we've read concerning those things of the law work, and how the law, God applies it to his people and brings his people in guilty under the law. And like we know, the apostle stated, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But oh, friends, what we've also read, and upon and under this, as it were, word, question, for what is thy life? Is it that you and I have experienced something of the law work? And have we been brought to know something of what Paul gives testimony on, of in what we've read of him? How he says, when the commandment came, sin revived. He said, I was alive without the law once. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Friends, are you a soul that has been brought to die, and I would say to die to all hope in yourself or in anything else of what you may have been trying to pursue, trying to do, trying to... Oh, was it that under conviction you were shown what sinner you are, and God's law was applied to condemn you, and you tried to be better, you tried to be different, you tried to keep the law, and you come to the point where you had to know, was brought to know, that dying to all hope. Oh, you could never keep the law. I died to all my fond hopes. Oh, is this so? What is thy life? But in the favour of God's special grant of newness of life, souls that are born of the Spirit, they are given a life which can never die. I believe that what the Lord spoke when he was using the figure of the sheep and he being the good shepherd, and I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you're one of the sheep of his pasture, he's given you eternal life. Do you have some evidence of this, friends? Do I? Am I quickened by his Spirit and live a life? What is thy life? Live a life of faith and prayer. Oh, and trusting wholly to his merit. We are well taught, solemnly taught, we have no merit. We have to go to God like Top Lady did. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to his cross, thy cross I cling. Oh, has he brought you to that? What is thy life? A life of experience, of conviction of sin. A life of burden of sin and guilt. But a life which is granted to you to have the favour to look away from yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. A life of faith in the bleeding Lamb, is it? This is what God brings his people to know, to have, to be in the favour, the grant of God of faith, to believe in Jesus. Christ is revealed. He's formed in the hearts of God's people the hope of glory. What is thy life? Is it such a life of God's great favour to you, he bringing you to believe in Jesus? To know and believe in him. Oh, how the Spirit so works in poor sinners to make Christ precious. Oh, what think you of Christ? What is your favour of knowledge of him, experience of him, knowledge of the holy, which is understanding? Oh, the holy, holy, holy God, God is, but oh, the favour of so being brought to be absolutely surrendered, you know. Oh, what a favour, friends. To be brought to be surrendered to the crucified one in all your concern and exercise the Spirit will give you to be in your solemn state of need to plead for mercy before God, a holy God, to beg for forgiveness. Oh, he makes his people, what is thy life? A life of prayer. You need to pray. What gave witness in Paul's own case, Paul the Apostle, here we are considering what James stated, dear Apostle James, but you know, oh, how Paul was. As we have said earlier, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. But what was it that was given to Ananias to settle him in his concern about this man who had been such a terror to the people of God? But God had stopped him on the Damascus road and changed him, completely turned him round. And oh, what was the witness that settled Ananias that God spoke to him? Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. Oh, can you look back, friends, to the, if I may carefully say it, the first time you were brought to really pray? I can remember the first time that I really felt the spirit of prayer. It was after being in the service in Stockfold Hope Chapel on a Wednesday evening. The late Mr. Christian, that's David Christian's father, who was deacon then, one of the deacons, gave out the theme, the hymn, the hymn, What Comes In, the Vilest Sinner, Out of Hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. I'd been under the terribleness of condemnation under the law of God for a long time. But this word, that theme, God used to raise me to a hope. Oh, I could say, I had to say before God while that theme was being sung, I'm a vile sinner. I feel it, Lord. But I'm out of hell, I'm not in hell. Thou hast been merciful to not cast me away. And I feel my need. How does this come to you, friends, any of you who are under conviction, who solemnly know your state as a guilty sinner? Oh, a vile sinner, even the vilest of the vile. I know, and think of another theme and another sweet theme of a hymn. Oh, the vilest of sinners, the very worst of sinners, who upon his grace rely. Oh, there's a wonderful prospect for them. Shall of endless bliss be winners, and shall sing beyond the sick eyes songs of praises to the Lamb that once did die. You know, when that theme was given, I trust of the Spirit to me. Oh, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need. So what is thy life? Is it that God's brought you to feel your need? You know what a sinner you are. You're convicted, convinced of it. You deserve the punishment. I believe real, deep, solemn conviction will bring a sinner to know and believe, and to, even to justify God in their own condemnation. If my soul was sent to hell, his righteous law approves it well. But God's got for these precious souls, he's got a purpose of love and mercy for them. He's teaching them, he's dealing with them. Does this ring in your life and the experience that God's teaching you? He's got a purpose of love and mercy to you. Your life is, as I've said, by the grace of God, a life of faith and prayer. Because God has dealt with you, he's dealing with you. He's teaching you. He's leading you on in the way and experience of these vital things that you must learn, you must know. Oh, what is thy life? Thy life as a humble, needy sinner. And what is it that thou art learning more and more? Oh, what you learn more and more, you have to say to God, oh, how I know what the Son of God has stated, without me he can do nothing. But oh, he gives grace, he gives faith, he works in these characters he loves to bless them to become believers. Sweet theme it is, solemn but sweet. A wounded soul, and not a whole, becomes a true believer. Are you in the secret of such things? by God's favour to you, in granting you to experience such things, of such reality, of exercise, giving you of the Spirit. You're a sinner. You say, I feel it. I'm so often given to say it, to quote it, as it were, to God. I'm a sinner. And I would say it and testify it to others. I'm a sinner. And nothing at all. I feel hopeless and helpless in myself. But oh, Jesus Christ is my all and in all. I hope I can sincerely say, friends, I do love him. You know, here the word states, we love him because he first loved us. How are you? For this is the highest test, really. Well, think of Christ in your life. What is your life? If it's a life of faith and prayer, it will be a life of experience of God's teaching, God's working in you, as we said this morning, to will and to do of his good pleasure. And as he goes on to teach you and bless you, oh, Christ is made so precious. Is he to you an altogether lovely one? Oh, do you see him? And oh, can you say? Oh, because of how he communicates to you by the Spirit, his mouth is most sweet. He's altogether lovely. Can you testify to others, this is my beloved, this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem? Oh, what is thy life? A life of amazing grace. Oh, you can agree with Newton, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I was in darkness of nature, lost and ruined in the fall. But the Lord has worked amazing grace to such a wretch as I, a worthless worm as I. Oh, his amazing grace, his wonderful love, his loving kindness. Oh, how you can pitch up the theme, his loving kindness, oh, how great, his loving kindness, oh, how free. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh, how great. What is thy life? We know, as it says, it is but a vapour. And we know it is, as compared to eternity, very short. We know there's no time in eternity. And like we felt to express this morning, as we knew it in experience and still know it now, and it's solemn still. Eternity is a tremendous sound to God's people. The guilty soul's a dreadful wound. But then on the side of the gospel favours, blessings, the favours in Gospels magazine, oh, the favours of the Spirit revealing Christ, and the favours of the grant of faith to believe, then, oh, how precious it is. And Christ is so precious. Oh, the favours of his love. And he leads us to consider him. What is thy life? Is it a life? Our friend, dear Benji, remembers when he prayed in the vestry after we'd come up from Brighton on the Sunday evening, not preached anything, any service at all till the Friday. God had given us the text on our journey home from Brighton. It was, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now I was praying through the week, the Lord would keep that word alive in my heart to come to you. And as I come along, I said to the Lord, do confirm it. Lord, oh, confirm this word that it's right. Our dear friend and brother, as he opened in prayer, he said, Lord, do help us to leave everything we've been doing today and consider thee. Is your life and my life, is our life a witness of the Spirit? Is there the witnessing of the Spirit in your experience, in your life? Oh, as we journey on, as we fast hasten on toward eternity, is there the witness of the Spirit? Like as we were called to take a funeral recently, and a dear man I loved in Christ, it was a privilege to take him. But what was so precious to me was that God gave me the word and settled me so surely upon the fact I knew my late dear friend had gone home to glory. And it was this, friends, the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Oh, is this given to you, friends? Oh, as this question may ring in your ears, I hope it will, even in the days to come, even in any weeks or years of your life still, may you never forget this word. May it be a reality, a question with you and me. But what is thy life? We know and have to acknowledge here the solemnity of fact. It will soon be. Let me be careful, but faithful. You know, comparatively, it will be soon, even for young souls here. It won't be long. I hope you will live a long life and have a blessed life of faith and prayer and favour under God, His love and mercy, His loving kindness. But time, friends, fast hastens on towards eternity. And like we quoted in that theme of the hymn, dear Isaac Watts hymn this morning, which brought us to be in exercise to this subject, you know, life is ever on the wing and death is ever nigh. The moment that our lives begin, we all begin to die. And that will be, I believe, under God, His favour to His people, a solemn reality. But oh, friends, the favour to be blessed, to be living by faith, and believing in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is made by God according to His sovereign purpose to be such a living, bright reality to us, because He's the Saviour. He's the Saviour of the lost. He's the friend of sinners. Christ is the friend of sinners. Be this forgotten never. And like I've said, a wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. So, what is thy life? A life of faith. And according to God's will, we're brought to be members, according to His covenant, His covenant love and His sovereign purposes, His working in us, His dealing with us. We are brought to become members of Christ's mystical body, in a sense. The church of God, the kingdom of His grace, we're brought to be in it. Oh, by the free, fair, unmerited favour of God. And we have our lives to live in profession of the precious name of Jesus. And all that we might profess, a good profession, enabled by grace. Or whatever sphere it is in God's will that we must walk along in and be in and give witness in of who we are, of who we love and who we serve. You know, it's a great favour to be brought, to be blessed, to be so favoured to come to be in the church of God and to be in fellowship. Oh, sweet theme, if we can say together, we have fellowship with God through the Mediator's blood, to have experience and favour, fellowship, and oh, to know union, to be in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, sinners saved by grace. No angel can be more esteemed than sinners saved by grace. And God's got a purpose for His people's life. What is thy life? What is thy life? There are those who are drawn by the love of Christ, the favour. We've heard it preached this afternoon by our friend Graham Cottingham. Oh, friends, what is thy life? Is thy life a life that thou by grace must live to the honour and glory of your God, to give witness of what is done for you, where your hope is? Hope is in the Lord, the Lamb, and your hope of eternal life given you by God, granting you the graces of the Spirit, teaching you by His Spirit. Oh, are there those of you? You've not testified yet, but thy life is to be a testimony. Oh, if you're so rebellious at God's command, let me say carefully, solemnly, the Lord will deal with you for it. I've known sad times of walking in rebellion, and I know how the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God spoke to me once. It's profound to me because some years before I knew Mr. Field, who was our pastor at Ashwell, you know, the Lord spoke to me in the bedroom when I was tired one day, so tired, I'd been working hard, and I felt so cold and so barren as I laid my head on the pillow. I've told you before, perhaps, but as I laid my head on the soft pillow, wanting to, in need of rest and sleep, but I was feeling my hardness, my dryness, my barrenness. And the Lord broke in with the words, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And that word, under God's power, broke me to pieces. I felt such softness then, and I was weeping in my very heart and soul, feeling it, and feeling the favour, the preciousness of Christ restored to me. And then the Lord spoke some further words, or applied some further words of the hymn writer. Rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, I promise I'll fulfil. I've bound thee up secure, restore the rage of hell, the curse thou never shalt endure, and I am unchangeable. Oh, years later, my pastor made known to me that those words were applied to him in similar situation, as he was in the farmhouse before he was married. Oh, their farmhouse in Kent. Oh, is there any here? Rebellious there has been and not rebellious still. Your Lord speaks to you, since in love I took thee in. My promise I'll fulfil. So you have a promise, and he'll fulfil it, friends. He'll ever be perfectly true to his promises. Oh, they must be proved as true. What he said, he will fulfil. Oh, he will. Oh, what else has he said to any of you? Bless you. He's blessing you. He's teaching you. Oh, he's dealing with you. What is thy life? Life of exercise. And some have exercise for the ministry of the word. I go back to Bethel Chapel, Luton, on the day there when it was Easter time, and it was Easter Monday, and we know most of the services in that area is south of Easter Monday now, but in those days it was Mr. Broom on Easter Monday at Luton and Bethel. Mr. Leonard Broom, dear John, who you loved here much, his father, and dear Leonard Broom, I believe knew that I'd been blessed. It seemed the Lord by the Spirit had given him to know. He looked up the gallery and he said, "I fear there are those, one or more up there in the gallery of you young men, and the Lord has so greatly blessed you, favoured you. And the time will come when you will have to preach the word." Is there any here, friends? You've been blessed, so wonderfully blessed. God in his will, his holy purpose, has appointed it. You should preach the word. He will bring it to fruition in his time. I rebelled against it many years, and the Lord dealt with me. But he blew at the time when we could not resist any longer. What is thy life? What's God's purpose for you? What's his will for you? What has he appointed for you to do in his holy name and cause? Oh, what a word it is. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Oh, the words of the apostle in his charge to Timothy. Oh, he also said, "Thou therefore, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Because Timothy couldn't do it on himself, but God gave him the grace. And oh, you may be saying, "I cannot go, I cannot do it." But he gives the grace, he gives the enabling. What is thy life? And thy life to speak, to testify of Christ, to preach the everlasting gospel, to tell to sinners round, to those of you who are exercised to follow the Lord, and the ministry too, to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour you have found. But let us come, friends. Oh, time's going. Let us come closer. I mean to the Saviour, as God may help us. The dear Redeemer, a life of faith, the blessed favour of believing in Jesus, he who suffered for our sins, he who bore the curse, he who's done everything for the church. Oh, is it given to you like those dear people where the Lord had been performing miracles? And they were standing in awe of what he's doing, what he'd done and what he was doing. And they said, "He hath done all things well." Can you say this? Can you give acknowledgement of this? "He hath done all things well." I hope I can look back in my life and experience, "He hath done all things well." Like we quoted, "He saw me ruined in the fall. Love me notwithstanding all." That day, Easter Monday at South Hill in 1958, he caused his servant to speak to me. And the words his servant spoke to me went right home as an arrow into my heart. We have had favour witness of this through our poor ministry. The Lord has given us to speak his word, to preach his word, and he has shot his word as an arrow into one and another heart. And those souls now are members of churches. Friends, what the Lord does. And those who are yet to preach the word, this will be your great favour. God giving you sons and daughters, giving you the blessed signs following. The Lord knows. He knows what he will do. He knew what he would do at that time. As we know in the word it's stated, Jesus knew what he would do. And he knows, he ever knows, he ever will do what is his will, is the will of God, God Jehovah. He's fulfilled all the law upon his and kept the law on his people's behalf for the bringing in of everlasting righteousness. The Lord has kept the whole law of God. And oh, he suffered, he shed his blood. He suffered, bled and died, and risen triumphant o'er the grave. My life, a life of great favour of believing in Jesus Christ, living upon his merits. When we live on Jesus' merits, then we worship God aright, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, then we savingly unite. The favour of so living, friends, though it will be comparatively short time, but oh, as I look back all the years of one's pilgrimage, doesn't seem long. You young people, don't think that you can just leave things till later life. Oh, that's a dangerous thing to do. Oh, you need to know now, am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood, have I union with the church's living? What is my life? Is it a life of just living, filling up my days with natural pleasures? Oh, there are the good, wholesome things that young people can and do attend to. Even things of exercise which are good and wholesome. But, you know, I believe if God makes you concerned as a needy sinner, there'll be end given to you to have an aching void the world can never fill. And so your life will be different after the Lord begins to deal with you. Well, friends, let us make proper acknowledgement. It will be blessedly different because so great a favour is in this that God's people will experience under his work and teaching, his working in them, teaching them to profit, blessing them to know their interest in the Saviour's blood. Oh, to know the love of Christ. Oh, the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's so high, so holy, so blessed. The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. Christ is made so precious. We can't go on, friends. I'm afraid the time is gone, but the favour of it, friends, most divine. Let us just read the context again. Go to now, ye that say today, or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Oh, this is how we shall live, friends, if we live by faith, believing in Jesus, trusting in him, casting our care upon him. Oh, what wonderful, sweet words they are, Peter. You know what Peter experienced, we all know. He loved his master well, but a loving Peter fell, but the Lord prayed for him. Think of it, friends. And just as the Lord said, I prayed for thee, Peter. He prays for every one of his, he's praying now for every one of his people, in a sense. He's interceding in heaven's high courts for good. He's our advocate, he's our mediator, he's our great high priest. Oh, can we, oh, may we come to this. He is our all, Jesus, my all, heaven is gone. Oh, we live upon him, trusting in him, casting, like Peter said, casting all your care upon him, who careth for you. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parrish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Paul Austin next Lord's Day, and he will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. and the TBS Auxiliary hold a prayer meeting at Clifton tomorrow evening. Our closing hymn is number 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033. Thank you.
Dear Lord, do cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love anything that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss in our services today. Bless the word, Lord, who knoweth. We do beg that friends may be able to ponder it, to meditate upon it, especially relating to our lives. What is thy life? What am I and where am I? Oh Lord, personally, may we consider things, the important things. Oh, and do prepare us, Lord, for all thy will, whatever may appear. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen.